Blog Talk Radio. We're open for business. The Greater Good Ministries Book and Gift Shop is now open for business, featuring metaphysical and uplifting books from your favorite authors, such as Doreen Virtue, Wayne Dyer, Michael Edward Owens. We've added handcrafted one-of-a-kind jewelry, pendants, earrings, and bracelets, and now have an exclusive selection of crystals, rocks, and stones for your metaphysical toolbox. Take a look at our hand-dug Arkansas crystals, imported Brazilian crystals, Tibetan crystals, and Reiki healing stones. All of our rocks, crystals, and stones have been Reiki infused, blessed, and cleared, ready for use. You can reserve your copy of Crystal Healing 2012 and Beyond, Reverend B's new book, A Comprehensive Guide of Rocks, Crystals, and Stones for the New Age. Visit ggmradio.com and click Bookshop in the menu bar. That's ggmradio.com.
There is only one mother, and she gives herself freely. So give thanks to her. Give thanks to her. And when you have completed your visit with our mother, leave no trace. Leave no trace.
I'm not Hello, everyone, and welcome to Messages of Light. I am your host, Amanda Dowell, every Monday at 11 a.m. Central Standard Time. Today we have a very cool guest all the way from Hawaii. She is known for helping people find homes in Hawaii. She's known for her energy work. She's known for her spiritual work. Claire K. Bajo has lots of experiences with Hawaii and Aloha energy. And, you know, the cool thing about Hawaii that I love is they're so peaceful and so flowing and so free and so happy. It's just amazing what I see, even including the Ho'oponopono prayer where you're forgiving and saying you love them and you're releasing and you're moving forward, you know, which we're doing a lot of letting go in these energies. So I want to bring Claire live to the show and introduce her and let her tell you guys a little bit more about herself. Welcome to the show, Claire.
Aloha. Thank you, Amanda. Can you hear me okay?
Aloha. Yes, I can hear you. How are you? Well, it appears we have lost Claire, but hopefully she will call back in, and I think that's her there that just called back in. Hi, Claire. Welcome back.
Hi. Sorry. Can you hear me okay?
Gotta love it when, you know, the planets are, you know, shifting and things are happening. Welcome back. I'm glad you're here.
Thank you so much for having me. Sorry about that.
No problem.
So, yeah.
So how are you today and what's going on?
Oh, doing great, doing great. Things in Hawaii are just picking up speed here in terms of, you know, what's happening in the world. A lot of people just being true to themselves and really deciding earlier than later to live their heart's calling and find out what their true passions are and what really inspires them. So a lot more people are moving to Hawaii a little bit faster than they might have before. And it just seems like such a great thing because we have a lot more people coming, you know, here to Hawaii that have a purpose to love, you know, and to help others. And, you know, it's just people from all over the world. So great, you know, basically just everyone's living Ho'oponopono and, you know, being grateful and thankful and appreciative for, you know, all the blessings that we each get to experience while here in these, you know, physical forms. So, yeah, it's been really good.
That's great. It sounds like there's a lot of shifting and a lot of changing where you are right now.
Oh, yeah, there's a lot going on, especially, you know, on the Big Island. I'm not on the side where the volcano is flowing. It's on the other side of the island, but I still have so much, you know, I'm doing so much Ho'oponopono prayers for them and the people of Puna and right now the lava, Pele, who is the goddess of the volcano. Yeah, Pele is the goddess of the volcano. And she's crossing, the lava is crossing the road right now where their cemetery is, and it's taken over the cemetery and just really watching how her movements are. I'm studying her movements because I teach in my real estate practice to people who don't know about these, you know, supernatural laws. I teach the story of Pele, which is the law of hospitality, where basically when you're giving and loving and caring to a stranger, you just never know who that person is, and they could be Pele, the goddess of the volcano. And if you were or when you are friendly to strangers and you help them and you give them food and water and whatever they need, pick them up if they need a ride, you know, someone like Pele, like there's been so many legends even to this day where people will offer her a ride. You know, she typically comes in the form of an old lady or a young lady or a white dog, and but people will kind of pick her up in the middle of nowhere and offer her a ride, and then she'll disappear in the, you know, in the back of their car. So she protects people along the way, and a lot of people come here and take pilgrimage to her, take their offerings, and, you know, go find their true life's purpose there. Well, I've been studying how when you give to her or you give to a stranger, when the lava comes down, supposedly it will go around your property. It'll go around your house and it'll go around your area. And so I was looking for evidence of that because, you know, there were lots of signs before the media was, you know, filtered, where they would show signs of lava going around people's homes. And so anyway, I Google Earth the area and found a whole cul-de-sac that where lava was coming straight for them, made a left, you know, straight down from them, lava in the cul-de-sac was the ocean. So they have lava coming down, and the opposite side of them is the ocean, and lava's coming straight down, goes left, zigzags in and out of homes. There was an empty lot in the cul-de-sac in between, maybe one or two lots that were empty. And the volcano, the lava went in the lot and came back out, missed the house next door by about, you know, 20 feet from the yard, you know, and then zigzagged, went in the empty lot again to the cul-de-sac, but came back out and then zigzagged around each home and then went into the ocean, went totally around this cul-de-sac and then went into the ocean, where it could have gone just straight down into the ocean. So it seems like Pele and this volcano, this lava, has a form of thought. It has conscious power. It has a consciousness. And it was just interesting to see how what's happening now there, as you watch the people, you know, when they, throughout these whole meetings, when they had faith and they used Ho'oponopono, the lava actually stopped. It stopped for a while. And then people were excited. They were happy. And I think that some may have just, you know, taken for granted that, you know, they were still at risk. And then the lava, you know, started up again. So to me, I'm just learning my own faith and how powerful it is. But I've seen power of faith and the power of prayer and the power of Ho'oponopono and how you, you know, forgiving and being grateful and thankful and loving, all of that, you know, plays a part in each one of our experiences, and it can contribute to the whole if people can pray together and love together and help together. And if they don't, then others, you know, then they leave it to chance. They leave it to nature to, you know, take over and cause, you know, other things to happen. So just really just holding faith for them, and really just in, you know, I feel like I'm in just a state of just not mourning, but just holding love for them, like apologizing for whatever it is that might have been done to cause this, or, you know, to have these things happen. So, but otherwise, you know, I live on the Kona side, which is in West Hawaii. And in the last 2 months or so, we've had like hurricane, you know, threats from the,
yeah,
from the Pacific come. And on the, and Kona is a very spiritual place. We have a, we actually have University of the Nations, which is a international university. It's a Christian university. So we have a lot of people praying all the time, and you know, the town has been very much a protected village, because, you know, a lot of people walking in their own spirituality and holding prayer, and, you know, just really always keeping a vigil, you know, just always wanting the best and praying for the best. And of course you have missionaries who are on a mission to, you know, what do you call it? Promote God or promote Jesus or promote teaching, healing, you know, spirituality and stuff. So anyways, whenever these last two hurricanes that came, when the first set came, I believe it was Isel, and there were two hurricanes coming, Isel, and there was another one behind her. We watched on the, you know, the Doppler radar when, you know, how it was coming in. We all held prayer and we just held vigil and stuff. You know, people in Kona, we just always pray for protection over the whole island and stuff. And then we watched as Isel touched Pele. As soon as she hit Pele, she dissolved. She dissolved.
Oh,
into
wow.
Nothingness. Yeah, from a storm to zero, to nothing. And it was very interesting because I live on the Big Island, which is the biggest island in the Hawaiian chain. And we have 4 points of the island, and we live on the west point. When the hurricane was coming, the east side, north side, and south side got wind, rain, you know, torrential types of weather, and Kona got nothing. Our trees hardly moved. It may have moved for like maybe 5 minutes, 10 minutes at the most, and then nothing. We just had a great day, but it was like normal, and it's just been really interesting to watch how, whether it's the mountains or whether it's our thoughts or whether it's, you know, there's some hidden ley line power that protects us, whatever it is, it's unseen and it exists. And so anyways, here comes the next hurricane, Anna, which was like a couple weeks ago or something. And again, nothing happens in Kona. We're just gray day. The waves were up, so a lot of people hit the beach and just took advantage of the storm waves and you know, packed the beaches and just enjoyed. And then what typically happens for Kona is after any torrential storm or something is on the front, a couple nights later we'll have a nice rain at night when everyone's like safe in their beds. So in terms of the supernatural powers that exist here, you know, all I can say is in my 22 years of living on this island that there is a power that does exist that I tap into because it's real and it may be unseen, but our Hawaiian Aloha Spirit law teaches us to see the unseen and to know the unknown and to acknowledge it. So when it comes to the Hawaiian culture and what I've learned, and I'm more passionate about being Hawaiian than I ever was in my upbringing years. I had a bad experience as a child with a Hawaiian person and just really just disregarded the whole Hawaiian culture and said, if people are going to be like that, then I don't want to be like that. Even though I'm brown skin and look like everybody else, I just tried to go more corporate America and stuff. But it wasn't until my later years that I started studying Wicca and the power of intention and writing things down and actually saying them brought me right back to the Hawaiian culture and the Aloha Spirit, where the breath is the alchemy of thought to matter. And when you speak them and when you use your hand expressions and you use your body language to express what it is that you want, then it has more power to come to fruition. So in studying, you know, the Hawaiian culture, I learned that every spirit, every person, every ancestor who's ever walked this still exists, that they're just gone in physical form, but that they actually still exist where they lived. And so that's why, you know, when you go to a sacred place, you honor those that were there before because they basically still exist there. So when we look at the ha or the breath of, you know, the breath that comes out of our bodies, we have to understand that our breath is a part of the ancestors. It's a part of who we were, who
it
our
is.
Family.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you believe that too?
Yes, I do. And, you know, there's just a lot of connection things that you said about how, you know, I mean, we can do that with any you know, belief system. Well, you know, somebody's being horrible or whatever, you know, that's why I say, okay, I honor you if you honor me. You know, that's the idea, is we, you know, honor each other and how we want to be treated. And so I think it's interesting how you said, well, you know, I didn't think I would be want to be Hawaiian because, you know, they're this way. And I like how you came out and said, but when I learned more about it and how freeing it was, how absolutely amazing, and the power of intention brought you back there. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah, it's an enlightening moment to be able to come back to my own culture and embrace it that much more. I see a lot of, you know, Hawaiian people, you know, being discouraged because it looks like they're being pushed off of their own land, or, you know, that kind of like the Native Americans were treated, you know, they just don't feel like they have as much opportunity as the other people who, you know, came from, you know, corporate America or came from good jobs, can come here and just buy up land and, you know, build their fences and stuff. And so I'm thankful for just being able to see both sides of the coin and just still holding faith that good comes to everyone. And because I also study the prophecies of Lemuria and the continent of Mu and the Golden Age, you know, how there were different ages, Bronze Age, Iron Age, the Golden Age, and the Age of Aquarius, which is upon us now, it has significance to really what's happening in the world. And I appreciate having those prophecies because it gives me hope that good is coming, good is here. We are the good. We're the ascended masters that we've been waiting for. And it's like just enlightening for me to understand that, like, we're all coming into our own power right now. I don't know. Do you see that happening too, where more people are just awakening to their own true power and, you know, understanding their own
goal? I think a lot of people are waking up, like you said. And I love how you said, well, we honor people. We honor the unseen. You know, we honor what's not there. Because I think, well, you know, if existence could put us here, then existence, you know, meaning if God, Creator, could put us here, God Creator can put whatever is needed where it's needed, you know, such as the examples of Pele and what you're saying there. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah, it's really cool to see visible evidence of supernatural powers. And on this island, there's a lot of that. There's a lot of, I believe because Pele herself, you know, the whole thought of new creation, new world, our island is part of the old world and the new world. We have the tallest mountain in the world, which is Mauna Kea. From seafloor to mountaintop, she's 33,000 feet, and supposedly there are remnants of this, you know, ancient civilization at the bottom of the seafloor. But also that we have new earth coming out that is, you know, iron ore, magnetic. It has, you know, it's a basalt. It's of a basalt nature, so it has magnetic powers. And to see that new power in action, and also the existence of the old power, the ancient power, the, you know, the power that you know, feeds us. You know, Pele, she makes new earth, but we can't live on her for a while. She's not, we don't get to use the lava until maybe, you know, years later after she's dried. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and to even build on her is, you know, means bringing in dirt and everything. And but yet we have the old world, and her sister, Pele's sister, is reigns over the tallest mountain in the world, and her name is Poliahu. She's the snow goddess of Mauna Kea. She feeds us. She provides, her mountains are so high that she brings the clouds so that it rains on us, so that it feeds our crops, so that we can eat. And, you know, all the waterfalls that are here are because of her, you know, being so tall that the clouds make water so that we can drink. And, our, you know, all our food is watered, and our, you know, our animals are fed. And just, we're so thankful for Poliahu. And not only that, she protects us. She protects the area of you know, of Waimea from harsh weather because she's so tall. So, you know, we just, when it comes to worshiping and, you know, people just appreciating the power, there's so many people that just come to pay homage to the mountains. You know, they seem to be like power points, and kind of like how you would worship, you know, come to bring offerings to a pyramid. It's very, very similar. And the same with Pele, of course. When a lot of people come to pay pilgrimage to her, they'll throw offerings in the crater for her.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure if I had told you this story about taking a Canadian woman and one of my friends who's a landscaper here, and he's actually from Connecticut, but he's lived here a long time, and he understands those spiritual laws too. And I had taken both of them to Volcano for a pilgrimage to kind of pay homage and take our offerings and stuff. And a lot of people do that like once a year to bring good prosperous year for everyone and stuff. So when I took him with us, I didn't know he was spiritual. He just wanted to come along for the ride. But when he came, he brought a bunch of flowers. He brought gin and cigars because the legend says that Pele likes gin and cigars. And, of course, food. She likes fish. She likes flowers. She likes anything that you give her from the heart. So because I don't drink or, you know, smoke cigars, I just brought flowers and shells and fruit and stuff and, you know, crystals and just, you know, really wanted to give things from my heart. So I had my stuff and he brought flowers. And on the way there, he said, stop on the side of the road. He wanted to pick some torch ginger. So we did. And when we got to the place, the volcano, we asked the guardsman, you know, where can we take our offering? So he told us where, and we went to the visitor center, and on the side there's a place where you can put your offerings. So we went there and had our own moments. We kind of split up and just did our own sacred ritual that we wanted to do. And then I was just sitting there kind of waiting for you know, my two friends. And and I'm sitting there watching my friend give his offerings. And, you know, he poured the whole bottle of gin and he, you know, put the cigars on the side and then gave her flowers and stuff. And he was holding the torch ginger in his hand over the crater. And he was just standing there holding it. And I was just in my own contemplation, you know, just saying my own prayers and stuff. And all of a sudden he goes, Claire, she's coming. She's coming to smell the flowers. And all of a sudden this wind just picked up and just started blowing past us. I mean, it was still before he said that. And all of a sudden this big wind came and it was like just a cool breeze. And he said, she's coming to smell the flowers. And I was like, oh my gosh, I just got goosebumps and just was like, oh wow, her presence was in the air. Her presence was in the breeze, you know. And so it picked up, and then all of a sudden it just calmed down, and that was it. She came, she smelt the flowers, and she left. And there was no breeze after that. It just was died down to just a regular breeze, you know. So I was like, oh my gosh, this is so powerful to see the presence of, you know, of a spirit that we can't see and yet it exists, you know. So just,
that's pretty amazing.
Yeah, really, really interesting things like that. And we also have, you know, stories of the night marchers I don't know if you know who the Night Marchers are, but the Night Marchers are warriors of the past. They were King Kamehameha's prided, you know, troops of warriors who marched. I believe they marched at night, and they marched from the mountains to the ocean. And during certain times of the moon, in certain areas, they will march. And people will see torches. They'll see, like, they'll hear drums. And they'll see, they might see shadows. If the story, the legend is that if you see or hear the Night Marchers coming, you get off of their path, and supposedly you're supposed to take off all your clothes and go face down on the ground in humility to these warriors that are coming. And if you don't, if you are in their way, they will take your soul. They will take you. And I've never heard of people dying. There have been people missing in certain places, but I didn't hear of people dying in this process. I've actually heard, and these are like new people who didn't even know that the Night Marchers existed. I had this one kid who was like 28 years old, and he was a master diver with Jack's Diving Locker. He came here for the job, and he didn't know anything about Hawaii. And his first night here, he didn't have a cell phone. He didn't have a flashlight. He was going to a place where he was staying that had no street lights, and he didn't know where he was going. And he accidentally, like, fell in a ditch. And
oh, no.
All of a sudden, he saw torches running down the mountain. He saw, like, torches, and he heard drums, and he just, all he saw was these torches running kind of quickly, like zigzagging down the hill. And he didn't know what it was, so he just tripped out. You know, he was freaking out. He made his way home to, you know, where he was staying. And in the morning, his friend, his blonde friend, who's, you know, grew up here, says, "Oh, you saw the Night Marchers." And when he took his friend back to where he had fallen in the ditch, it was all thick forest. Like, there was no way that those people could have been running really fast down that hill, because it was all forested area. So, you know, when a new person comes to Hawaii and has these experiences, for me, that's a sign that, like, they are meant to be here, because the mm-hmm. veils have been lifted, and they see things that, like, myself, I've never actually seen a Night Marcher, you know, with my own eyes. I've heard drums, I've seen torches, but I've never actually seen, you know, anyone, anything like that. So when people come here and they have those experiences, to me, I go, wow, you must be an honored guest for them to show themselves to you, and you be alive to tell the tale, you know? So
that's true.
Yeah,
that's true. I mean,
we also have
that's
stories.
That's remarkable.
The, it is. It really is. When you think about, you know, the things that, you know, people just in a regular world, you know, they don't really see the unseen. They're just going about their day, thinking that everything, you know, physical is real, and everything that's not physical isn't, you know. But when you're in Hawaii, there's just things that happen that are just more in sync with, I think, your soul's purpose, like more, I don't know if you'd call it intuitive, but more like things happen in synchronicity with where you are in your life. So, like that same guy, that same master diver that came here, he was at the beach and at a you know, at a cove, a very sacred cove where the surfers, you know, hang out and stuff, and there was surf out there, and he had cut his foot. He didn't realize that, you know, the lava is very jagged in some places, and he had cut his foot really bad when he went surfing. And so he was watching the surfers, and he said, this guy came out from the bushes, kind of short, kind of dark guy, and came right next to his where he was parked and ran up the tree. Obviously, he was, you know, Polynesian or something, or, you know, Micronesian or something. He had some, you know, power to be able to run up a coconut tree, because you can't just run up a coconut tree. You have to be talented to climb it, because they're like, you know, 30, 40 feet high trees, and that's where we get our coconuts from, right? So he went up, grabbed a coconut, came down, cut the coconut for him, had him drink the juice, and out of the husks of the coconut, he made a concoction and put it on his cut. And immediately,
oh, wow,
he said, the cut healed. Immediately, he could feel no pain. The whole, you know, soreness, the throbbing of it went away. And the guy, he didn't know the guy. The guy just came up and did this for him, drank the coconut milk, and, you know, he put the concoction of coconut mixture on his foot, and then walked back into the bushes across the street and disappeared. And to me, that is like in the Hawaiian days, we talk about the menahuni, which are mini, they're like dwarfs. You know how we used to have gnomes and dwarfs and little pudgy little guys that ran around. Well, these menahuni are also little dwarfs, but they're like little, they look more aboriginal. And they were the people that lived here before the Hawaiians lived here. And they were also the people that could build fish ponds for the king in one night. In one night, they would levitate, rocks. And they would use all of their intuitive powers to build a fish pond in one night for the king. So they had mystical powers. And like for this guy that, you know, young guy that comes to the island, to me, he's like royalty, you know. He is meant to be here because the whole, you know, experience of him, you know, going through these interesting things has, it's just, you can't explain it, you know? It's not something that happens to everyone. So, anyways, it's just when you come to Hawaii, just, you know, be open to whatever, you know, experiences happen, because there's messages in them, you know? There's just deeper meanings for why things happen here. So a lot of people, I think, are, when they move here, they're like forced to look at themselves. And it's like in Hawaii, you, especially on the Big Island, because Pele is a magnetic law, karma is immediate here, you know, goes around, comes around really fast. Mm-hmm. So, you know, people have to face themselves really quickly. And what I tell people who want to move here is, you know, if Hawaii is calling you home, listen to that calling, because there's something that you need to, there's something that you need to fulfill here while you're here in physical form. And, you know, to just trust that instinct and follow, you know, follow that inner calling that tells you, you know, go here or go there or do this or do that or talk to that person, because everything has a reason, you know. There's no mistakes in this lifetime. But when you are in Hawaii, when you're listening to that call and you're listening to your intuitive knowledge and you know, just going where you feel led, it typically will show you a lot of things that will, you know, kind of move you along in your spiritual evolution. So that's what it seems like a lot of people are going through right now. We're all just kind of like, kind of, I don't know if you would call it purging, but just kind of not being dependent on physical things. Like, you know, a lot of the Hawaiians didn't grow up with money. We didn't grow up with like cash. We didn't have currency, but they're very rich in their giving, you know. Our lands are prosperous, so we give fruit, you know, for instead of money, or we'll give our services, or we'll give our prayers, we'll give blessings, and all of that is significant in terms of currency. So when it comes to like even politics, or when you need something, you know, at the any kind of state or county department, or even from your neighbor, if you were to, you know, gift them with something, food or your blessings, or being thankful or grateful or apologetic even, you know, that is way more healing and can get you in way farther places than if you came with alternative measures. You know, if you came upset, or you were angry when you called, or you were, you know, you had animosity, it's better if you try to come with a simple sweetheart. And like how they say, you know, you catch more flies with sugar than you do with, or honey than you do with, you know, anything else.
That's true. That's true.
So,
well, you
know
what
mean.
What I like about all of that is, you know, your message to people. I mean, you know, yeah, you've got the, you know, I love aloha. I love the honopono. I love you. I forgive you. I'm sorry. You know, and you bless them and you move into that. And the other part that I love about what you teach is unconditional love. You know, that really when you're in Hawaii and when you're around everything, you are about unconditional love. You know, there's no judgment, no, you know, you're just, you know, we're just all connected. And that's, you know, how it should be.
Oh, yeah. Everyone's walking their own path. So, you know, how could you ever judge someone if, you know, we all have our own skeletons in our closet that, you know, we have to clean out. So why would I ever look at someone else's skeletons and compare them to mine? You know, it's
right.
Better
what I'm
just
saying
to...
Is I love how that's taught. I love how you teach that, and I love how that's taught there. I just love your example. It's amazing what from the spirits and the people and from you. It's really cool.
Yeah, it's beautiful. It's beautiful to see it in action. And, of course, we have a lot of highly evolved people who come here, too. A lot of people like retired civil engineers, scientists, physicists. Of course, we've got exopoliticians here. And we have big conferences. We have Joan Ocean, who lives here, and she does the teleportation conference. And Laura Magdalene Eisenhower comes to speak, and she talks about, you know, President Eisenhower's, you know, trips to Mars and her, you know, them trying to recruit her. And we also have Dr. Michael Sala, who is an exopolitician, you know, promoter. And he's offering, they've created like two or three sanctuaries in the Pune area for UFOs and extraterrestrial landing strips.
Oh my goodness.
So
mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. And not only that, we've got the Hawaiian Kingdom, which I guess, you know, the United States, when they came to, you know, take over, they had done it illegally. And so, in essence, the Hawaiian Kingdom that they tried to take over still exists. So now we have two forms of government here that exist. And, you know, I mean, quite frankly, the Hawaiian Kingdom hasn't really been established yet in terms of, you know, their political power or some, you know, how they manage themselves in terms of government issues and how they're helping the people and stuff. It hasn't really come to like public knowledge yet. But there was a protest up at the top of Mauna Kea where they were trying to put the biggest telescope. They were starting to break ground for the biggest telescope. And it was very interesting to watch because I really want to see the stars. I study the stars and UFOs and you know, the phenomenon of of the stars and astral, you know, bodies moving and orbs and things, and going to the top of Mauna Kea is quite a spiritual experience. So anyways, there was a protest of the biggest telescope being developed, and all these dignitaries from India, China, Japan, you know, look like Arabia, they were all here together. And it was very interesting because here, you know, on the media front, you have all these people fighting. But over here, here they are together holding hands for technology, you know. So it was kind of ironic for me. But I was happy that at least they were holding hands and wanting to be together on this one thing. But the Hawaiians, you know, there was a big Hawaiian group of people, and the Hawaiian government was in protest of them building on sacred ground, because Poliahu is, you know, she is like an altar for us. And these Hawaiian people were saying, no, you don't get to build, you know, one more telescope, because this is our sacred ground and you've been building illegally and all this stuff. And so anyways, I was just watching and just being, you know, just holding prayer that, you know, I just hope the best for all parties, really. If God, you know, God wants us to, if God wants, you know, there's always one answer, and God has the right answer, and it's a middle ground. Typically, it's supposed to appease all parties for a win-win-win situation. And so I always try to figure out what that answer is. What would God want for all of us? Because it has to be win-win-win for all parties, not just one party. And so as I'm watching this protest, and it's all on video, how the event went down. When the protesters came, they had tried to stop the meeting, the going forward of breaking ground, and so it stopped for a moment, and then the dignitary said they're just going to try to keep moving forward, even though there were protesters. Well, when the presenter went on the microphone and started to speak, a big static came over the microphone, and he looked around like there was some big power that existed that was telling him something. And I thought that was very interesting, how, you know, again, we have unseen powers taking place, and what is supposed to happen here? And when I saw what happened, that there was like static over the microphone, he looked around, and the kahuna, who is the preacher man who is to bless the property to break the ground, when they were trying to move forward, of course, you know, his own people were in protest, and it was very, very interesting in the end was that he could not go through with it because his own people were uneasy about what was happening. And so in the end, he had to side with his own people, the Hawaiian people, because what we were talking about with all the spirits that still exist, even though they're not in physical form, if they were to go through with this building, and there was animosity or any kind of, like, you know, everything was not pono, and they didn't do the whole pono pono to kind of make everyone at ease, then something would happen. And, you know, there's karma relative to not acknowledging the uneasiness, you know. So it was very interesting. What happened in the end was the people in protest ended up putting everything, just folding up all the chairs, rolling up the carpets, help them break down everything of the ceremony, and just chanting and praying and just singing the whole time. And I thought that was very interesting to kind of have it
that
be
is
positive. You know, be positive in some way. It doesn't have to be, you know, the alternative. It could be loving and caring, but what is that? So anyways, just really an evolution of how we are going to get things done. It reminded me of Gandhi and how he had, you know, fought for his people because of, they were trying to, you know, tax the salt, you know, and he stood up in peace and walked forward. And I believe that we, you know, we each have our own silent power that we could be doing, you know, to help and to make things peaceful while we go about, you know, holding peace for everyone, win-win-win for everyone. So, yeah,
absolutely.
So that was
absolutely. So would you like to take some callers? We do have some people in here that might have some questions for you.
Sure, sure.
Okay, we have, looks like a Skype caller. We have area code 661. You're on with Amanda and Claire. How are you?
Hi, Amanda.
Hi, how are you?
Good. I was just listening, but very interesting talking to you and Claire. It's Sandra here.
Hi, Sandra.
Hello. Yeah,
so
I
do you have a question for us?
Well, I just really, I really have a calling to go back to the Big Island, actually, of Hawaii. I've never been there, but I have a sense I have business to do there.
Oh, really? What calls you here? When you think of Hawaii, what comes to mind?
I don't really know. I just probably some clearing. That's what I feel. I feel as I'm more tapped in that that I have some things to clear and to make, you know, to help with my spiritual journey.
Nice. Bye. Very nice. Well, we look forward to meeting you then.
I hope so. I certainly,
so you might have to go from you might have to go from the U.S. to get me, and then we'll all go down there. That
would, hey,
I've
Amanda,
never
that
been
would be
either.
Awesome.
I've never been either, Sandra. So.
Yeah. I guess Claire. Actually, so do you get any insight as far as what do you get any insight as to why I would need to go with Amanda? Or that we should go.
Well, I visualize all of us here in worship at the ocean. I visualize us, you know, holding hands on the, you know, with our feet in the ocean, just saying a prayer to, you know, to those that passed before us and those that are ahead of us. Coming into this world, that we would help to be like lighthouses and guideposts to all those that are searching for their own heart's desire, and that we each, you know, live by example in terms of, you know, living our true heart's calling, but that we are in Hawaii on the ocean, loving each other, holding thought for ourselves and the world. To, that we all wake up, and that we're, for instance, you and Amanda coming here. I mean, it could be as easy as, you know, someone blessing you with, you know, with tickets here, and all expenses paid. I mean, when you think of the law of attraction, and your reason, you know, if your reasons are unselfish, all you're wanting to do is come here so that you can follow your spiritual journey because you want to help others, you know, you want to help yourself by helping others or help others by helping yourself, then, you know, the way lines up for you. And as we visualize you, you know, I see myself giving you guys a hug, you know, putting rays around you, you know, finding shells on the ground to cherish like priceless jewels. And, you know, when you can start visualizing that, you're closer to being here than you ever were. So,
absolutely.
Well, when you spoke of that, Claire, I really felt so emotional.
That's nice. That's good. That means that you're coming
here
soon. Yes, that, when you can feel the emotion. Yes, yes, it's a confirmation. And when you keep following your heart, and when you do things that cause you to get emotional and have those goosebump feelings and thoughts that really go through your mind, or someone will say something and it'll spark an interest, listen to those. Those are all guideposts for you to, you know, to just take heed that something's coming. You know, get excited. Get excited that you're going to be late in Hawaii.
Well, in a different way. Which is really
in more
awesome.
Ways than one.
I know. I didn't mean that. Like,
you know, but, love is the highest point of attraction. Yeah. So when you're as loving as you can possibly be, it's easier for God to lay that road out for you. And I can see that happening. And I look forward to meeting you very soon.
Okay, well, I would love that. And Amanda, boy, that would be just a prayer for both of us. Yeah, for sure.
All right, thanks.
Okay,
for
we're going to put it out
there. Blessings.
Yeah,
we
thank
are.
You very much.
Blessings.
Okay, and our last caller, we have one more, is 618-250. You're with Amanda and Claire. How are you?
Hi, Amanda. Hi, Claire.
Hello.
Hi. I've had many experiences in Hawaii that were just fabulous. I lived there during the late 80s and early 90s. And I got there in a very strange way. My spirit guides, I had just bought a house. And I thought I was going to keep it forever. And I was sitting on the front porch on the first day that I was there. And my spirit guides told me, this isn't the keeper. You're going to Hawaii in 3 years. And they proceeded to tell me how and everything like that. And I told my husband, and he was blown off the map, because 3 years later it happened exactly like my spirits told me it would. And so it was a one of a kind adventure for my whole family. So it was quite fantastic. And
wow.
I hope to go back one day and see my friends. I had a chance to meet many people, Sashi Velupe, a palmist, and Serge Kahili King, and worked for public TV with Peggy Sakamoto.
Wow.
We did interviews and that. Of course, I realized it was many years ago, but I can still feel it in my soul.
That's beautiful that you met all those people, because
amazing.
They're very powerful when it comes to teaching the Ho'oponopono and the Aloha Spirit laws. So, yes, what you are truly blessed. You're an honored
and
guest
here. I met Katrina Raphael, and I went took many trips to the ashram there and received personal guides, guided tours of the ashram also.
Wow, so you are an honored guest.
It was wonderful, yes. So
I look forward to having you back again.
Well, thank you. I'm be glad to meet you.
Would love to meet you next time. Please come to Kona next time.
Okay. Thank you.
All right, thank you for calling.
You.
Blessings. All right,
Blessings.
Claire, that ends our show. Thank you so much for being my guest today, and we'll do it again soon.
Thank you, Amanda. Had a great time. Blessings to you, and love you, dear.
Love you, too. Aloha. Blessings.
Okay. Aloha.
See you next time on WGGM Radio. This has been Messages of Light with Amanda Dowell every Monday at 11 a.m.
symbols are running through your head. A television freak show, cops and robbers everywhere. Subway makes me nervous, people pushing me too far. I got to break away, so take my hand out, cause I want to live.
Compassion in the jungle, compassion in your hands.